Hey, good morning, everybody. I'm Robert Schuller, and you're watching the Robert Schuller Ministries, a church with no walls.
Welcome to Sunday Church. And no matter where you are in the world, we're glad to have you join us for church. I'm Donna Schuller, and welcome.
So I guess we could say good morning, or depending upon where you are, we could say good afternoon or good evening even. And because we reach the entire world with the good news of Jesus Christ through the various mediums that are available today.
One of which is not YouTube right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Because they took us down 3 weeks ago, and we can't seem to put ourselves back up on our streaming platform. So we need to do some more problem solving during the week. And Sunday morning, there's no one there to help us. So, and there's nobody during the week except us because we don't have any staff. So lots going on. But anyway, we're glad you joined us. Hopefully you found us. I'm sorry if you're on YouTube, you wouldn't be seeing us right now. But if you try to go on YouTube and you're scrambling and you're finding us somewhere else, the best way to see us is on drschuller.org, our website, drschuller.org. And another address is robertschullerministries.org. It takes you to the same landing page. But we're trying to transfer everything over to our website so we have more control over censorship. We don't get censored as much, but obviously that takes finances and time and energy from a third party. And anyway, we'll talk a little bit about that later.
Not important. Let's open our worship service with a sentence that I've used my entire life. I've heard since I was my earliest memories, and that is Psalm 118. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come together and give you praise and thanks and honor for everything. And so, oh Lord, we thank you for what you give us constantly. And as you are a God who loves and cares. So we pray for renewed strength. We prayed for continued stability. We pray for our nation. We pray for those who are in hospital beds around the world today. We pray for peace in the Middle East. And so guide us and lead us in your way. And may we submit to you and your guidance today, tomorrow, and always. We love you, Lord. And we praise your name always and forever. Amen.
Amen. So if you're noticing our mantle in the back, this will probably be the last week. It just says thanks.
You missed the tea is all.
Oh, you missed it in the shot.
Yeah, let me move my head. There it is. There's the S.
That's the
and
S.
And if we move this just a little bit, see the
T.
There it is.
Actually is a whole banner that I use once in a while. I made it. It's made out of like burlap and some letters I glued on, but it's actually says enter his gates with thanksgiving and his enter his gates with thanksgiving. That's all it says. Period.
Yeah, that's what the banner says.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving.
But the Bible
his courts with praise.
Exactly.
But it doesn't say that. That would be way
too much
banner
to me.
But anyway, that's I put that up at Thanksgiving time. There's some gourds and some little pumpkins up there. And then we have behind Robert's head, we changed the flowers today because that is actually a poinsettia that's
so hard to move when you're doing it in the mirror.
Yeah. You know? But it's poinsettia that's made out, it's yellow and orange and kind of brown, not red. So I don't know if they put dye in it and it was light pink or what they did, but I was like, oh, I like that. However,
I did it again.
After Thanksgiving, I want it to be red. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe try
to. Did you light the candle?
Candles are all lit. I have three of them today.
Oh, good.
Right next to our sign, pray for the peace of Jerusalem.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So what do we have planned today?
So
have to announce?
Well, one of the things I've been doing recently is giving some reports and talking about things you probably won't hear about in the news. And last week we talked a little bit about Newsom. And this week Newsom is saying, yeah, we cleaned up San Francisco because Xi Jinping is coming and the bigwig, and that's why we did it. Yeah. After years and years of people saying, please clean it up, he finally does it for Xi Jinping, who is a genocidal psychopath And I got a couple
we
weeks
shouldn't
ago,
even have had him here. We shouldn't have hosted him in any way.
And he shouldn't be having his picture taken with him smiling.
Well, anyway, I met the president too.
And that's different.
Yeah, I guess so.
Because you have to
diplomatic relations.
You have to create, but going to China and having your picture taken, smiling, look at me, I'm a wonderful diplomat. When he's not a diplomat, he's a governor, and actually governors aren't allowed to participate in foreign negotiations and the like. So anyway, my question for San Francisco and for Newsom is, what did you do with all those homeless people on the streets?
Yeah, where did they go? How do you clean somebody's
city? What did he do with them?
I don't know.
I don't know. I know what Xi Jinping does with them. Mm-hmm. And that's too gruesome for me to even talk about. I talked about that a couple weeks ago.
And then thus we're not on YouTube anymore. But yeah, I think we'll be back on there. They said it's a strike. I just don't know why they haven't removed the strike. I have no idea. So, but now you see why we get censored, because you're not allowed to tell the truth in church. So, and I always love the way my husband takes whatever's going on in society and he weaves it into the truth found in here.
Well, that is not my report. That's my report from a couple of weeks ago, actually.
Oh.
So I know I can.
Uh oh. Here we go. Now we're in trouble.
Yeah. So here's
just don't use the B word. That was part of what got you removed.
Oh, that's the wrong one. Let me see here.
Even though some people are allowed
to use
it.
Let's see.
The B
no,
word.
I don't have it here. So let me just hide that, and let me just give you a report. And the report is that from 2019. To today, as of 23, the average life expectancy of males in the United States has dropped from 78.8, which is almost 79 years, down to 73 years.
What?
The life expectancy in the U.S. Now, to put that in perspective, wow. Korea, Japan, Portugal, and Italy all have life expectancies of over 80 years.
Mm-hmm.
And even China claims that it has a life expectancy of 78 years, along with Turkey. And I don't know if we can trust those numbers, but I think we can trust Korea, Japan, Portugal, Italy, all over 80 years. So a report came out. I thought I had that here, but I don't think so. A report came out that said, unfortunately, I had all these challenges with my screenshots and everything today, but the report came out, and basically with that report of the age, 70, 73, it said the main cause in the medicine of America today is it doesn't talk about prevention. It doesn't teach prevention. And that is so true. What they talk about is early detection. And if you listen to mainline media and mainline medicine, all they talk about when they talk about preventative health is a colonoscopy. Does a colonoscopy prevent you from getting colon cancer?
Nope.
What does it do?
It detects it if you have
It's simply early
too late.
Detection.
No, it's not too late. Early detection.
Yeah, it's early detection. And that's the prevention model of our mainline medicine in the United States of America. It's early detection, and therefore you prevent these problems. Well, early detection isn't prevention.
No.
We talked
about.
You
could go on and on. You could go mammograms, which now, by the way, they're finding out are absolutely horrific. I haven't had one in 25 or 30 years.
So you want to focus on prevention as opposed to early detection. What does prevention mean? Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, early detection means trying to find things that cause cancer.
That's early detection.
That would be prevention.
Yes.
If you can eliminate from our environment things that promote cancer, that would be really positive. So in that regard, what I have, and unfortunately I can't tell which one, that's the one for Parkinson's. Let me see this. Oh, yes, here we go. So let me hide that a minute, and let me see what's this one, because I got them all mixed up. No. So let me hide that one too. Sorry about that. They're all mixed up. I didn't do a very good job of getting my slides up.
We usually do. So you're allowed.
Thank you. But anyway, so what's happening in the glyphosate field? Glyphosate has been proven in court time and time again that it causes cancer. As a result of that, and this goes back to like 2016, 2017, so for several years. And let me take a look at my notes here. So there were several reports that came out. I don't have my notes in my... Where did I put my notes? Here's my notes.
I'm going, what the heck?
I know.
Where have you been? What happened? You didn't get up early enough or no?
I know. I got up at 4, but that's not early enough.
We had a good dinner last night.
Yeah. So as of starting in 2016, 17, Bayer actually bought Monsanto for $60 billion. Bayer is a German company. Monsanto is a U.S. company. Monsanto is the one that bought that created glyphosate, which most people know as Roundup. You spray the weeds in your driveway and different places and they all die, and it works really good. The only problem is it's very toxic for humans. And that's been proven now in several court cases. The first one took place several years ago. In the month of October, this year, 2023, they lost three cases. On October 20th, 2023, a case for $1.25 million. A week later, one for $175 million. And then a third one in October 31st for, I don't even have the number written, millions of dollars.
A lot of money.
A lot of money. So you would think that would encourage people and people would realize that it does cause cancer. I mean, these are, in order for people to win a case like that, you have judges that are judging the presentations from the attorneys that are putting forth the evidence, whether it does or doesn't. You have Monsanto, or now it's Bayer, sharing all of their research and all their studies saying, no, this does not cause cancer. And you have the others that say it does. So they are continuing to lose cases.
For like the last 6 years, I think.
Yes.
I think the first one is 2017.
So here it is. Finally have one that I can actually show. After this week's loss, investors nervous and mounting about the company's future litigation liabilities. Here's a sentence I want you to hear, the second one. At the last count, settlements were still pending in 47,000 of the approximately 160,000 claims filed against Bayer for cancer and other causes of glyphosate.
So the results.
So, and you look at some of these numbers of hundreds of millions of dollars per case, you're talking the bankruptcy of Bayer, and they will try to put all of this into an account and try and bankrupt that account.
Wow.
But here's the other thing that has been discovered about glyphosate, and that is that the inadequacy of current pesticide regulations from protecting brain health, the case of glyphosate and Parkinson's disease. Mm-hmm. So glyphosate is used in all your agriculture. So all of your grains are sprayed with glyphosate just before they're harvested. That includes your wheat that you eat as bread. That includes all of your grains, your oatmeal, you name it, they're all sprayed. They all have been proven to cause cancer and possibly Parkinson's. And
things are on the rise. That's why people are dying younger. We started with the average age of a male.
So there are several countries, including Italy, which will not allow glyphosate to be used because they've recognized and believe that these legal cases are legitimate, that this does cause cancer. Now you go, well, why would they spray these fields with glyphosate? They do it actually.
There's lots of
just a couple weeks that they spray them just a couple weeks before harvest. Mm-hmm. And the reason they do that is that it shocks the plant and the biological realities. When a plant thinks it's going to die, it puts all of its leftover life into the seed so that it has a future. And that is your grain of wheat or your grain of flax or your grain of oatmeal or whatever it is. So it puts it all into there. So if you have some parts of the field that isn't ripe, it all becomes ripe at the same time. They have a far larger yield because, again, the plants are putting it all in there. But at the same time, it's putting all this glyphosate in there. So when we're eating bread that is not organic, or you're eating oatmeal that's not organic, you're eating glyphosate. And then you have exposure to glyphosate if you're using Roundup in your yards. And
if you're eating fast food,
all your fast food would, yeah, all of your anything that's not organic. So the bread that I like is Ezekiel. I eat Ezekiel bread. And if we
keep
we
it
like
in
to,
the freezer.
Yeah, we like to get wheat from Italy because, again, we know mm-hmm. it doesn't have glyphosate on it.
Yeah, if you eat pasta, buy your pasta from Italy. Make sure it says made in Italy. And don't use, I'm a nutritionist, so I'm very passionate about this. And we both studied nutrition for 30 years or more.
So here's how government works. We have companies like Bayer are too big to fail. So here's, and they want to keep using their practices. Here is a new bill, which is being presented. It's called the Agricultural Labeling Uniformity Act. And which basically says, if this bill passes, it will make it, you will not be able to sue any of the chemical companies like Monsanto, like Bayer, because they will label it. And anything that is on that label takes a tremendous amount of energy out of the lawsuits, and you'll probably lose your lawsuits. So again, it's agency capture. We need to elect people in our government offices who understand what agency capture is. And those are people who basically they're agencies. We have 480 agencies in the United States with nearly 20 million employees. And most of these agencies are not doing their job. Like the FDA should be saying glyphosate, here's the evidence. Glyphosate is not safe. We can't use glyphosate anymore. And if our agencies were doing their job of protecting the Americans as opposed to protecting the corporations, our health would be
the longevity
would be in 80 like the other countries, over 80 and not 73 and going down. And so it'll be interesting to see if the numbers continue to go down. So if you want to live long and healthy, Don, I wrote a book 20 years ago called Possibility.
20, isn't it? 30, almost 30 now.
It was in 2000. Years. It was released in 2000. Yeah, so 23
you wrote it
years ago.
Yeah, 23 years ago.
I was writing it in the 90s.
Well, I can also say, if you want to follow somebody, great. Follow Dr. Jeffrey Barke, B-A-R-K-E. His Instagram handle is RX for Liberty. And you will learn details and things that you cannot believe. He's a medical doctor. He lives here in Newport Beach, or his practice is here in Newport Beach. He's very busy. He's not accepting patients, but he has a lot of online education. We interviewed him on the call on our podcast on the 15th of October. So that's also available if you want to listen to what he has to say. It's very interesting. You really, especially as a Christian person, you know, you need your light to shine bright for as many years as possible so you can make as much of an impact on this world and make as much of a positive difference. So you want to live long and healthy. And I love doing this, but you don't want to live long like that. You don't want to live long like that, but you want to live like this.
You want strong, to be healthy
straight
to the
up and
die.
Down. You want to be able to walk stairs. You want to be able to carry your own luggage, you know, and it's never too late to start getting healthy. It really isn't. And that's a whole other message, but anyway.
Anyway, so that's my news for today.
Let's see if we get taken down.
Yeah. I don't think so, because we didn't use the V word.
Yeah.
And,
you know, the V.
Yeah. So anyway, that's why they took us down, because I was talking about that. Read the scripture.
And you were talking about that, but you were quoting the CDC.
Yeah.
The facts from the CDC, but that's okay. You're not allowed to do
that. Not allowed to do that.
So, I'd love to read the scripture. Welcome back to church. And, you know, I think it's important that my husband gives you a well-rounded education. And obviously, we are devoted to Jesus Christ, number one. But, you know, I know God wants us to be honest and He wants us to be learning. He wants us to be educated so that we can educate others again, so that we can shine our light as bright as possible. We don't want to bury our head in the sand and pretend these things aren't around, that they don't matter. They do matter. We live in a flesh and blood world, even though we're spiritual beings. So anyway, hear these words from Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for He acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We know God continues to add His blessing when we read His holy scriptures. Let's pray. Lord God, thank You for these reminders that we trip along the way, but You protect us from falling. Lord, You love us. Lord, You want us to open our eyes to truth. Once we open our eyes to You, the ultimate truth, the only real truth, then everything else falls in place. Lord, thank You for protecting us during the day and at night. Thank You for reminding us that You are pure love, that You will never leave us or forsake us, that we have to trust You. All around us will fall, lots of deceit, lots of evil all around us, but we stay the course. We stay focused on You, God. Thank You. Thank You. We are grateful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this is a church service, and as such, we collect an offering. If you already give to this church, thank you so much. We have a lot of work to do. I think we talked about it in the beginning of the program. We need to redo our website. I mean, scrap it and start over, because there's lots going on there, and we want to increase our ability to own our intellectual materials, like Robert's sermons, and he's also working on a book. I just released a book And we can't do that on social media because they continue to censor us and they want us to fall in line. And the only person we fall in line to is Jesus, is God. So anyway, if you'd like to give to this ministry and you don't, there's a few ways you can do that. First of all, again, we want to encourage you to go to our website, drschuler.org. I'm going to spell it because closed captioning does their own version. So drschuler.org is drschuller.org. You go to that page and there's a little box, a little button on the upper right hand that says, I'd like to give. You click on that. If you've never given that way, it's a secure way to give. It'll take you maybe a minute and a half. And then from there on out, if you ever want to give that way, you just click. It's very easy. Ideally, you would set yourself up for recurrent giving. That would be awesome. It helps us with our budgeting and gives us a better idea, even if it's $5 a month, $5 a week, whatever you feel comfortable giving. If you don't feel called to give to this ministry, please give to another Christian church that preaches the Bible, that believes in Jesus Christ, and is telling the truth and educating you on what's going on. Another few ways you can give, you can go, oh, and by the way, if once you're on our website, robertschulerministries.org or drschuler.org, drschuller.org, you can scroll all the way to the bottom and you'll see our mailing address, which is 26 Canyon Island Drive, Newport Beach, California, 92660. So scroll to the bottom of our web page. Gosh, there's a couple other ways. Why don't you talk about the other
ways? There's Venmo. And this is what our Venmo account looks like. So you'll know you're on the right account. It's Robert Schuller Ministries at Robert-Schuller Ministries.
And you see a little picture of us in the middle.
Yeah, you'll see a little picture of us in the middle. So then you know you have the right Venmo account. And also we do have Zelle account. And I'm not sure how to tell you how to
it's
do
Robert
that.
Robert Schuller Ministries.
It's Robert Schuller Ministries on Zelle.
If you know, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have a Zelle, you know. And,
yeah, if you use Zelle, it'll be really helpful.
Yeah.
And so we just want to encourage you to support the ministry, not because we need the support, which we do. But that's not the reason you do it. You do it because God has encouraged you to do so. and as a result of your giving, not necessarily financially, but you will be blessed in ways you can't measure.
Yeah,
which
can.
Is more valuable than finances. So with that, let me go into my message.
Absolutely.
Walk the dog, and
bye, everybody.
Talk to you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
So last week we talked a bit about government authority, and because, let's see here, get things straightened out here. Yeah, that works. Okay. So I've been going through the letter of Peter to the church, and it's his first letters because he has two letters that we have recorded in our Bibles. And at the very end of the Bible, you have Revelations, and you go backwards from there, and you'll find Peter pretty quickly. It's a small 5-chapter letter to the church. And what I'm going to do today, before I go and actually go into chapter 3, which is really our assigned passage for today, and next week it'll be chapter 4. What I won't be doing is chapter 5. I'm going to do that today, and because 2 weeks from now is the first Sunday of Advent, and so we'll be talking about Christmas and the beauty and joy of the baby Jesus who comes to save the world. So I'm going to actually start with 5, and I'm going to start with a question. And the question is, who among us, who here today, who listening to my voice, would like to be strong, firm, and steadfast? Those are the rewards of following the instructions of St. Peter. Let me read it specifically to you. In the 5th chapter of Peter, he says, starting with verse 10, "And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast." That's why I asked, and that's why I'm beginning this message. Who among us, and I'm raising my hand, I want to be strong, firm, and steadfast. Those are the spiritual qualities and the emotional qualities that I want in my life. I know that those qualities are going to bring more joy, more happiness, more reward, more stability. It's going to make my life better. It's going to make my relationships better. It's going to be transforming as far as my life is concerned. And so the best way to understand the entire letter of Peter, which is what I'm going to basically go through today, is to actually start at the back and go backwards. So if that's the case, then he says, by the grace of Jesus Christ, he himself, Jesus, will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. That's how he concludes his letter. Now let's go backwards, like I said, and read a little bit more. So the steps in getting to this point where we receive our strength, where we become firm and steadfast, where we receive these gifts from Jesus Christ himself, it starts by being humble. So if we're going backwards in the fifth chapter, in verse 6, it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. I mean, these are the most beautiful, positive, affirming, wonderful verses to help us as individuals and people get through the tough times in life, because life is tough. God has never promised us an easy life. In fact, quite the contrary. Jesus himself said, pick up your cross. What does that mean, pick up your cross? Well, Jesus was crucified on the cross. It was the most painful, difficult thing in the world. And he was forced to pick up his cross and carry it to Golgotha, where he was crucified. Now he tells us as individuals in the Gospels, he says, pick up your cross and follow me. So by following Jesus isn't an easy life, but it is a life that brings strength. It brings a steadfastness. It brings a firmness and character. It creates in us and makes us veterans of Christianity, people who have gone through the fires, gone through the challenges, and have proven to be steadfast and firm. You don't create forged steel without it being hammered, without it being fired up, and then thrust in the bucket of ice. That's how you create forged steel. It's not an easy process. The same thing is true with our souls and our spirits and our minds. We are forged through the challenges and the tough times in life. And we find out that we have a lot more character and a lot more ability than we ever would have imagined as we go through these things. And that's why God allows us to go through these things, to make us better people and better parents, better husbands, better wives. So let's carry on. And in verse 5, it says, in the same way, you who were younger, submit yourselves to your elders. In the same way is a really interesting Greek word. And it is a Greek word that we need to understand and we need to apply to everything in here. So that's why I'm specifically reading that verse next. It says, because homoios is the Greek word for in this way, which could be translated likewise, which means that there is something that precedes that, which precedes that, which precedes that. Well, last week I talked about the first one of these four characteristics of submission that Peter is encouraging us as Christians, as individuals, to submit ourselves to in order to experience the blessings of God. And the blessings we have come from Jesus Christ, which then restores our strength and makes us firm and steadfast. You said you wanted to be strong, firm, and steadfast. Now, here's how you do it. starts by being submissive to our governments. And in the United States of America, as I talked about last week, the government is you. It is me. It is not our president, our governor, our congressmen and senators. Those are our employees. And when Peter wrote this passage of scripture, there was no concept and no understanding of the kind of democracy and republic that the United States and that we in the United States live in today. Instead, it was a hierarchy because the Israelites gave up that republic, gave up that representation when they asked God to give them a king. And God gave them Saul, and then King David and Solomon, and you have the kings. So as a result of that, they had the same kind of government that ruled from then throughout history and up until the United States was established, which is you have a dictator, a king, an oligarch, and it's a top down. So by the time it reaches the people, everyone must be submissive to their lords, to their masters. They must be submissive to the king. Whatever the king says happens. In the United States of America, what we did is we took that pyramid with the king on top and we turned it upside down so that every single citizen of the United States is the king. You are the king. I am the king. And we then hire representatives. We literally pay them to work for us, to go to the meetings, to have the congressional meetings, create the laws, and on our behalf, we are the king. So, as a democracy, we are told by Peter to bow down to the president of the United States. Quite the contrary, the president of the United States needs to bow down to the citizens of the country. And in democracies and republics around the world that work in this system, that's the way it works. If you live in a country like China, you have to bow before Xi Jinping. And if you don't, you will go to a re-education camp, which is another name for a concentration camp, until you have been re-educated and you know that you can bow and worship the God King Xi Jinping. That's China. And there are other countries in the world like that. So what Peter is talking about is being submissive to a king, being submissive to your government. And in the United States of America, that's turned upside down. So it makes it a little more complicated to comprehend this. But it is from there that the word homoios is used. Likewise, as being submissive to your king and your master as a slave, he goes into women, be submissive to your husbands. And that does not mean that you do everything your husband tells you to, because immediately following this passage in number 4, he goes on, and in verse 7, he says, husbands, homoios, in other words, in the same way, wives, in the same way you're submissive to your government, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, in the same way you're submissive to your government, you be considerate and submissive to your spouses, to your wife. And then from there, it goes on again. In the same way, homoios, young, be submissive to your elders. So we're not talking about a hierarchy of submission here. We're talking about what he refers to in 5:6. Humble yourselves, everybody, husbands, wives, elders, young people, all segments of society, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Because as I mentioned last week with the governments, we always put God's law above the government's law. If we are told we have to worship Xi Jinping, God says, thou shalt not worship any idols. Thou shalt not put anyone before me. These are in his Ten Commandments. He is a jealous God. And the first thing we have to do is follow God's laws. And from there, everything falls into place. Even if it means being put in a re-education camp, we're put in a re-education camp. If it means we are thrown in the lion's den like Daniel was, we're thrown in the lion's den. If it means other persecutions, we face that persecution. That's the suffering that we as Christians endure. That's the cross we pick up, we put on our shoulders, and we carry to Golgotha if necessary to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, that God is sovereign, that he will defeat the evil in the society and in our country as long as we continue to put God's laws first, follow his laws, and not put a pinch of salt or a pinch of incense in the idols of our governments and the idols of our Scientology, those who worship science. And as a result, we'll have a much longer, healthier, happier, more productive life. So the whole concept of submission is in marriage, is considerate, understanding, respectful, humble, loyal, and cooperative. That is the adjectives that we use in our marriages, in our families, with our children, with our parents. We continue to, in humility, to put God first, follow his laws, love one another. And Jesus said it best, love your neighbor as yourself. And as we do these things, then homoios, or in the same way, likewise, we love God. We experience families that have the ability to have joy, peace, happiness, and prosperity. That's the letter of First Peter, or I should say Peter's first letter. So the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, this is not easy. It is not easy. Will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Dear God, we thank you that you have given us instructions on how to have a positive, healthy marriage and a family, by showing respect and love, by following your commands, by putting you first, by respecting one another. And so as we do these things, we pray that you will bless us in ways we can't imagine. So touch our hearts, our souls, and our minds with your goodness and your love. We love you, Lord, and we praise your name always and forever. And now may the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always and forever. Amen. God's blessing you, everybody. Go with God.